It is time to go down to what I like to call Cook Vegas, down to Cookeville, Tennessee. And we got Coach Bobby Wilder on the phone. Coach Wilder, how's life treating you this morning?
Living the dream. Couldn't be better. Will, I think the fans need to know the story of Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady. Do you
okay.
know why?
Why? Go ahead.
Why? Because Greg, you know, we love Greg. I equate this to 2001 when Bledsoe got injured against the Jets. So Greg is Bledsoe. You're Tom Brady. Brady comes in, leads him to a last-second Super Bowl victory, and all we remember is Brady. We don't remember Bledsoe. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's Will Brown. Standing ovation. Let's go.
I hope Greg's not listening. Hey, but you know what? Drew Bledsoe, as a quarterback, did a great job with the Patriots and the Cowboys. A lot of people don't remember. I think that's where his career ended. But speaking of great careers.
And we love Greg. Get him back soon.
I know, right?
Come on back, Greg.
Wink, wink. I mean, but, Coach, when you talk about stellar careers, I mean, what you were able to do at Old Dominion and how you were able to build that program from the ground up, you now move on to Tennessee Tech. You had your first OVC spring game with the Golden Eagles. Talk to the fans about how that game went. Was there, you know, was Bobby Ball in full effect out there? Just let the fans know how it went last Saturday.
Oh, I appreciate you asking that, Will. From a head coaching standpoint, could not have been better, because remember, when it comes to a spring game, I'm Switzerland. I want the offense to win. I want the defense to win. I want the special teams to win. I cheer for everybody. I have no sides. And what I witnessed in that game was it was a clean game, only a few minor penalties, few five-yard penalties. There weren't turnovers by the offense. Dylan Leibel, who, as we currently sit here, the transfer quarterback from Missouri, joined us in January. He's put himself in a position to be in the lead at quarterback. He went 15 for 16 in the spring scrimmage and threw three touchdown passes. So he protected the ball. He didn't turn it over. He was very accurate. And then defensively, really solid performance, in that there were a number of sacks. There were a number of three and outs. So really good back and forth, Will, in this spring. We call it a spring game, but it's really a scrimmage. But really good back and forth. We had a good crowd. It was good weather. They were excited. A lot of recruits here, a lot of parents here. So from my standpoint, and the most important thing, Will, we got out of it healthy. So really good day to be the head football coach at Tennessee Tech.
Tell the fans some players individually. I know you mentioned your transfer quarterback from Missouri coming in, doing what he did in the spring game. It's always awesome to see the quarterbacks be in tune with the receivers early on. But talk about some of those guys that he's throwing the football to. Out of the receiver group, who really – stuck out to you this spring that you really didn't expect to stick out to you, and what did they do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, we brought in five transfers in January out of the transfer portal, and we had one young man, Tramell Jones, who's really excelled. He had six catches and a touchdown in the scrimmage. Jordan Yates, another really solid receiver. DJ Lincoln, solid receiver. Luke Shields. And then some players that came back from last year. There's a couple really solid players on the roster from last year, so felt good about that. Hunter Barnhart's a tight end who played a lot of football here last year. He looks really good. So there's some skill players on offense we've developed, and Will, we're in a deep dive in the transfer portal. When I get off the phone with you, we've got two recruits on campus I'm meeting with today. This will be an all-month process in May to continue to add value to what I feel like is a pretty solid roster I inherited from last year's team.
Well, that's awesome. And I know the fans down there in Putnam County are just waiting impatiently for you to come out onto the field for week one. I know you and I and Greg have had some time to talk off air, and you bring up some really interesting things when it comes to college football. When people think of the FCS, I mean, for years it was the little brother to 1A football. Now I think the FCS has not necessarily caught up to the FBS level, but being, you know, having that experience on the FCS level, what are some hidden gems that people may not know about this level of football?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I would say the number one thing, if you just – if just imagine right now you're facing a map of the United States, and to the right is the Southeastern Conference dominates college football at the highest level. Well, people would be shocked to know, Will, you got to go all the way out to the left of the map, to the Dakotas and Montana, to find out who dominates FCS football. Now, remember, the difference is we're FCS football, Tennessee Tech. We get 63 scholarships equal 85 equivalencies. So I can have some full scholarships and partial. Just can't have more than 85 kids on scholarship at FBS, the Southeastern Conference, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. You have 85 players on scholarship. And then with Collective, they're making a boatload of money. So the difference just geographically, Will, is down in the bottom right of the country, dominates the top level. Up at the top left of the country, dominates the FCS level. South Dakota State beat Montana for the national championship this year back on January 7th in Frisco, Texas. That's where I want the entire city of Cookeville, Tennessee, everyone in Putnam County. Like, I want the town empty at some point in the near future on January 7th, because we're all in Frisco, Texas for the national championship. But we've got some work to do, Will, to catch those schools that are out on the top left-hand part of the map. How about this? I'll end this point with this one. 11 of the last 13 national championships have been won by the Missouri Valley. It's North Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota State. It's North Dakota State 8 times.
And that's not an error.
And South Dakota State the last 2 years, 22 and 23. So basically, the Dakotas dominate FCS football, which I would bet 99.99% of America had no idea that was the case.
Wow. I mean, you are right. When you look at the FCS, it like you said, it's either North Dakota or South Dakota. And before I go into my next question, Coach, you can go further west. In Eastern Washington can be an issue.
Yeah.
For a lot of schools. So
they've been in it. They've been in it a couple times. Well, they just haven't won the national championship, but you're absolutely right. They play out of the Big Sky Conference with Montana. Bobby Hoke, head coach at Montana, is a good friend of mine. They're the team that lost to South Dakota State for the national championship. So you got the Big Sky Conference, which is the Montanas, and then into Washington, like you just pointed out, Eastern Washington. Then you got the Missouri Valley, that's the Dakotas. Northern Iowa has been in the championship. I mean, just really good football, but that's what dominates our level of football. We need to change that here at Tennessee Tech. We need to get the Southeast to be the little brother to the Southeastern Conference. We need to get the Big South OBC, the Southern Conference, those conferences to really start stepping up our game.
And I think within time you guys will be able to do that. But a couple more questions for you. The never-ending story, ongoing mystery of the transfer portal. Now, a lot of coaches have been able to experience the portal for a few years, and they some have lived and some have perished with it. What approach do you take to the transfer portal, and knowing what Tennessee Tech has been traditionally, a program that is slowly but surely starting to take steps in the right direction, you know, turn to you, and now it's up to you to take them even further. How do you, as a coach, use the transfer portal to your advantage to market a very marketable Tennessee Tech program?
Yeah, that's another really good question, Will. It's number one, and the most important thing is to really do a good job of coaching and developing the players on the roster. So Dwayne Alexander, the former coach, he left me and this coaching staff with some really good players. So we focused on keeping them, trying to keep them from going into the portal. We had a few players that just after spring ball went in. Now, to answer your question, how does it help? How do you navigate? Well, the very first thing we did, our general manager, director of player personnel, Justin McMullen, for the last 3 months has been going through almost 3,000 names of players in the portal, reviewing their video, their transcript. Every single position coach grades out every single player in the portal, and then our coordinators make decisions on who do we want to try to bring to Tennessee Tech. So a lot of legwork in advance, Greg, and you can work as hard as you want or very little on this. We chose to work really hard with the goal of adding value to our current roster. That's pretty solid. It's a solid roster. So right now what we're looking to do Will, long story short, we've evaluated 3,000 players. We'll get that down to about 30 that will visit Tennessee Tech here in the month of May, and we'll sign 15 of them to a financial aid agreement to report here June 1st for summer school and training. But it is a it's a fascinating deal right now with this portal, but it's something that, if you can do a good job with it as a program, you can turn your roster over quickly, and you can go from being 4-7 like we were last year to competing for a championship. I can't remember if I told you this. Well, my son is a starting center at Eastern Illinois University. They're in our league. We play them at home November 23rd. So I'm going to be looking across the other sideline at my son and their coach, Chris Wilkerson. Really good football coach. 2 years ago, they were 2-9. Last year, they were 8-3 and almost made the playoffs. They hit on some key positions in the portal and flipped from 2-9 to 8-3. So with the portal, you can do that.
Yeah, and you know what? You speak to that point. Like last year, I want to say they, 2 years ago, had one of the best defenses in the OVC, but one of the worst offenses.
You're right.
Used the transfer portal to their advantage. Still have a stellar defense, but then guess what?
Right.
The offense is now up there with the defense. So, you know, it takes me back to the program. Remember the movie The Program came out in the early 90s, and there was a scene where the starting quarterback got suspended, and the one of the starting linebackers was like, man, now the defense is going to have to pitch shutouts. And that pretty much was kind of the MO for Eastern Illinois around that time, but not necessarily the case anymore. Final question.
Hey, Will, let me tell you this. Because you bring up a great point, what you said about Eastern Illinois. Last year here at Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Tech was number one in the league in defense in five categories. They were awesome on defense. They just struggled on offense. They played three quarterbacks, and Jordan Potts, who came in, did a really good job towards the latter part of the season, was a freshman. So he was up and down in terms of performance, and they just couldn't score points. But we've got four all-conference kids back on defense. Our two defensive ends, Dan Rickards, who I thought was the best player in the league last year, in my opinion, should have won player of the league, but 4-7, you know, you didn't win the award. Hudson Tucker's a DN, Aaron Swafford's a linebacker, Tim Kutris is a safety. Those are all conference kids. They're all back, Will, and they all have 2 years to play. So to your point about Eastern Illinois, my background's offense coach and quarterback, so I like a lot of points on offense. If we can get that offense going with this defense coming back, we got a shot to flip this thing pretty quick.
Yeah, you do. And I really looking forward to the upcoming success at Tennessee Tech, Coach. I really mean that. But final question, and this is why I've been waiting on this one all morning. You've now reached about 4 to 6 month period, and I'm just going to say Cook Vegas.
Cook Vegas, City of Lights.
Now, I'm coming down to Cookeville. Let's just say here I'm coming. I'm coming to watch the TSU game that's coming up on September 21st. I want to get down there early. You got to be my tour guide. What am I doing? What are we doing Friday night? What's going on Saturday morning? And then obviously after the game, what are we doing after the game? Talk to the fans.
First of all, you're with me Friday night. We got the team meal. We'll eat the team meal right around 6 o'clock. Then you and I are going to address the team. We're going to have a conversation with the team, and then we'll go through the special teams, that final check. Special teams, the all-star, best of offense, best of defense. Then we'll break up. We'll have an offensive meeting, defensive meeting. Then the guys will break again, go to position meetings. Real quick, just, you know, final check. Let's do the final check of the game plan. Then Friday night, you and I will need to go downtown because it's going to be hopping downtown. We'll go downtown. We'll say hello to the fans. Everybody will be excited. They'll all be in the purple, and you know, there'll be live music, things are happening. We're not going to stay out late, though. We got to get some sleep. Then we're going to get up the next morning, get with the team, get the team breakfast at 9:30. We eat 4 hours before the game. Game's 1:30. Team breakfast, 9:30. We'll have a team meeting, final discussion. You and I will be on the buses. We'll lead the team over. Then we'll do the Golden Eagle walk. We'll come down in front of the hoop, into the stadium, the band, the cheerleaders, all the people in the tailgate. We're walking through them. And then you and I are leading the team out of the tunnel at 1:25, and it's ball in the air at 1:30. What do you think of that?
Man, sounds like fun. Can't wait. Hey, Coach Wilder, it is always fun to speak with you. Congratulations on becoming the head coach at Tennessee Tech. And we will be talking. And you know what? You enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Appreciate you. We're going to do some recruiting. We're going to build this roster. And then we're going to enjoy a great day of baseball and softball here in Cook, Vegas, the place to be. Appreciate you, Will.
No problem. Thank you. Well, that was head coach Bobby Wilder from Tennessee Tech University, first-year head coach there at TTU.